welcome to Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Today is Sunday, April 12th, 2020. I'm Doubter 5, and as usual, we have our co-host Wombat on the phone with us. Hello, Wombat.
Hey, it's the Wombat. I'm happy to hear everyone is alive and not sneaking and sneezing and coughing and all sorts of crazy stuff. Oh, my gosh.
That's always good. Yeah, especially now. And our guests today are Joey Woods and Boudreaux and Red Pirate Higgs. Say hello.
Hey, everyone.
Hey, I didn't leave anybody out, I don't think. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour is a talk radio show about atheism, free thought, rational thought, humanism, and the sciences. And we'll also talk about religion, religious faith, God's holy books, and superstition, and the coronavirus. Of course, we'll be talking about that today, too. And if you get the feeling that you're the only non-believer in Knoxville, well, you're just not. There are several atheist, free-thinking, rationalist groups that exist right here in Knoxville, and we'll be telling you how you can connect with them right after the mid-show breaks. Also, did you know that there was a streaming atheist call-in video show broadcasting from here in Knoxville and has been for over 10 years? Did you know that, Wombat?
Yeah, I don't like it. I feel...
You don't like it?
Well, here's my thing. I totally support, you know, the Kardashians and whatever they do. I just feel like they aren't really contributing to society in any meaningful way. So I think the reality to make a reality TV show out of them is sort of just like, what are you guys doing? Like, is this for me? Is this for them? I don't understand what's going on here.
In 10 years. Now, this is an atheist talk radio show, or actually TV show. And they're broadcasting on YouTube now, but they've been doing it on the real live airways here in Knoxville for 10 years, but they've gone internet now. So if you go on YouTube and look for Freethinkers United of Knoxville, you'll find them, and you can find their archives there as well. Also, if you'd like to interact with us here on the show, go to Facebook and search for Digital Free Thought Radio Hour and use the messaging function to send us questions and comments during our broadcast. We're here live at 11 o'clock on Sunday morning, and you're welcome to join us any Sunday morning through Facebook chat and ask us questions or listen while we're streaming it. Anyway, so... let's get on to our topic. I think we're talking about more hoaxes or conspiracy theories that have come up through the coronavirus epidemic.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. What's the first one we want to jump to this morning?
Well, so I just brought up the list that appeared on the American Council for Science and Health. Pardon me. And number five, because we stopped with number four, which is Gwyneth Paltrow and her website, Goop. So number five is vitamin C can cure or prevent coronavirus.
Yeah.
I guess this is a throwback to Linus Pauling and his idea that vitamin C was essentially a cure for everything.
Oh, I didn't know he had that idea. I thought Linus Pauling's thing was like, if you work out a lot, you'll have strong babies. Or if you, eat a lot of meat, you'll have like kids with high protein counts or something like that. Isn't that that guy? Did he have a lot of crazy ideas?
Really well known for his thoughts around vitamin C. The Linus Pauling Institute, has vitamin C.
But I know
he was quite a famous scientist, not in the area of health, mind you. He did other things.
Yeah. I know it works pretty good on scurvy.
It does work on scurvy, yeah.
But
we don't get a lot of that.
No. Scurvy is a vitamin deficiency, so a vitamin would work on it.
Yeah, that's right. It was hard to store that stuff in those big old ships, I guess.
Yeah.
It must have had infused with someone else. Jeez. Yeah, he's fairly recent. Now,
what about this thing that Trump is trying to promote, this new drug? What is that? You don't remember it?
No, I don't. I don't pay attention to the names.
It's not the Remdesivir, is it?
No, it's a hydro Desivir. Something or other.
Okay. I heard snippets that his son he's got some stake in some of the pharmaceutical companies.
Before we get too political, how about that vitamin C? What is it? Does it cure? What is vitamin C, Gary?
Well, it says, so the evidence that vitamin C prevents or reduces common colds is scant to non-existent. Some coronaviruses cause the common cold, and because SARS SARS-CoV-2 is a coronavirus, it can be thought of as a deadly version of the common cold.
Are you telling me things that are true, or because I don't know what I'm being triggered by? Here, so.
Yeah, I'm just reading it off the website.
Because I'm listening to you, and I'm like, what?
Yeah, it says that means it almost certainly will not respond to vitamin C.
Mm.
However, there is evidence that zinc lozenges reduce the duration of the common cold, so perhaps they could do the same for COVID-19. Mm. So that's that's the Snopes as partially true, right?
Yeah.
One I was thinking of was the hydroxychloroquine.
Oh wow,
which is an unproven drug. They're getting some mixed results with it, but Trump is promoting it because apparently he owns stock in the company, or he has a vested interest in it, which is against the law firm to promote anything that he has a vested interest.
It's the tip of an iceberg. It's the tip of a very big iceberg, right?
Yeah.
And the fact that, was it the Senate that decided not to convict on the basis of their impeachment?
Mm-hmm.
That, anything further, it's like he's got carte blanche now to do essentially anything he wants because there's no repercussions other than...
Well, he not only that, but he owns
people paying attention to him.
He owns the Department of Justice, but there's no way that anybody's going to... indict him on anything, much less convict him once indicted.
Columbus.
Yeah. Well, that leads to the next.
I have some things to say about vitamin C, at least.
Okay. Oh, yeah.
So, vitamin C is, it's actually just a molecule. It's an acid. It's like an acidic molecule. Uh-huh. Like, we call vitamin C, A's through, I don't know how many letters we got, just common building blocks of things that we think are fairly useful and can be found in really healthy foods. So it's not like there's a tree that just produces vitamins. It's really just things that we find in food that's already, that we know is already of healthy. Course. And vitamin C is ascorbic acid, and ascorbic acid is in a lot of different kinds of foods that are really healthy. I mean, that goes from like lemons, pineapples, mangoes, broccoli even. Like, there are foods that have higher counts of vitamin C than like most citrus foods that we were aware of. But it is in a variety of those, including onions and maybe even like some vinegars. So like if you're a fan of vodka, you might get some trace amounts of ascorbic acid in there too.
Wow.
But, it's, as Larry had mentioned, it's actually a really good cure or a good way to prevent getting scurvy. Your body does need it to, your body doesn't make vitamin C. You have to get it from the foods you eat.
Right.
And vitamin C. Exactly. And a vitamin C deficient diet is not good for you. You might lose body parts and turn green and all sorts of crazy stuff. So eat your veggies and fruits.
Yeah. Now I'm going to try to remember something I heard a long time ago about that, that we can't produce our own vitamin C. However, dogs and cats and lower mammals can produce their own vitamin C. That's why they don't have to have fruit.
Oh, whoa, that blows my mind.
They say that there's a piece of, that they have found the gene that produces the vitamin C in our DNA. However, it's got a piece of trash DNA, like from a virus or some kind of crossover contamination in that area, so that we can't create our own.
Oh, so it shut the gene off, essentially?
It shut off the gene.
Oh, I love stuff like that.
That might be something that we can research further in the future, but that's what I read earlier.
When you tell me that, that just sounds like even more beating a dead horse proof of evolution. Like, why do we got these junk genes that are useful, but just like, and also not only that, but also lack of an unintelligent design. Do you know what I mean by that?
Yes.
Yeah.
Because that would be really useful to have. Instead, I got eyebrows and nipples that I don't need whatsoever.
There's one good example with the giraffe. The design of the giraffe, if you were to call it a design, is so poor that it would be hard to fathom an intelligent designer putting that thing together based on how, the nerves and the blood vessels travel up and down the neck in order to service the brain and all that kind of stuff. It's just bizarre. Bizarre anatomy.
Is this a Richard Dawkins reference here?
Yeah, actually it is, isn't it?
Yeah.
It's the greatest show on earth, I think, was where it came from.
Yeah. It's the laryngomer, the something.
Different. Right.
Yeah,
because it goes all the way down and then up, and does it turn kind of like the bullet off the grassy knoll, right?
Yeah, which evolved over millions of years to from a short one to a long one. But if it was created, why would you do that?
Hmm. Yeah, exactly.
Why would a creator do that?
But I think the way how you express it, where it's like, hey, it's important to eat vegetables and fruits, right? Well, dogs don't, because they can produce their own vitamin C. You never see a dog walking around with gangrene. And we have that gene, too. It just has been turned off. And so why do we have genes that, one, we don't need, and two, could be really useful if we did have it? Like, that would be...
Or if we could repair it.
If we could repair it. So, like, we have broken genes in our body that we could obviously just tweak on and be even more superhuman.
get that CRISPR stuff going, right?
Oh, yeah. Could you imagine what other genes we might have that we could turn on and be like, let's go through this whole library. Awesome. Like, look, we can make bacon three times more delicious. What's going on here? Joey, what kind of genetic, Joey, if you're listening to this, what kind of genetic superpower would you like to have turned on, like X-Men style?
What kind of genetic superpower would I like to have turned on?
Yeah, like...
Oh, my gosh. Are we talking about a realistic one?
Or yeah, well, I mean, like, things in the animal kingdom.
Well, might as well be realistic.
Yeah, right? Things in the animal kingdom.
Fly, so...
Okay.
You know, not without great effort, and you can fly straight down. I'm not saying you can't.
I have ADD, and I just want my ADD gone. I would want to be able to just be super focused, super productive.
Genetic? I mean, is that genetic? Maybe we could do something.
Yeah, maybe we could.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Gene therapy.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Absolutely agree. Okay, Boudreaux, we'll throw this question out to you, Gene. That you would love have turned on from other branches in the animal kingdom, but in humans. Is there anything like that you would like to have?
Wow, yeah. That's a good one. I feel like in some ways, humans have kind of evolved to need to pre-digest our food, right?
Mm, yeah.
So we get sick. It may be a bit disgusting, but man, wouldn't it be... It would be a lot easier if we just, if we could eat like animals in some ways, and you just didn't have to worry about cooking and getting sick from.
Oh, like eating raw food?
Yeah, or drinking water. Maybe make it a little less carnivore. Be able to drink water from anywhere, from the river or the creek.
Without worrying about microbes and stuff.
Right, going to Mexico regular resorts and actually being able to brush your teeth with water.
I was actually thinking the other direction because one of the problems I have is GERD, gastric reflux.
Okay.
Oh yeah.
Our stomach acid is so corrosive to have been able to handle all those germs and stuff back when we were living in the trees and in the jungle that we don't need it now because we cook our food and it's generally sanitized and stuff. So if we could turn calm our stomach acids down quite a bit, it would get rid of diseases like GERD.
Mm-hmm. Interesting.
I have something. I'm not sure if it applies to genetics, but it is a really cool feature. Larry, you're going to enjoy this as well. My mom is hard of hearing. She's going on deaf, but she has implants that allow her to turn her ears effectively on or off. And they can get Bluetooth connectivity, sort of like how you have your, he's like, yeah, that's normal. I have had that since the 80s. Like, but yeah, her ears can get Bluetooth. So basically, she can answer calls, listen to the TV, whatever, or have cell phone connectivity, just standing by herself normal in a room, and can turn her ears completely off to the point where it's like, I don't want to hear this car drive. I don't want to be in this loud grocery store. I've heard this alarm. I don't want to hear it anymore. Just off. Mm-hmm. Boom. And go straight to signing and talking as normal. And so I thought.
So these are implants?
Well, they're
just hearing aids?
So it's cochlear implants. So they basically, everything she's hearing is brought through by electronics anyway. So she can just turn that off and just go straight back to being deaf again.
That's amazing.
It's, it's been around and it's so cool that like science has just figured that out.
I've heard of the cochlear implants. I actually suffered a full loss of hearing in one of my ears.
Whoa.
As a result of a car or motorcycle accident. I was hit by a motorcycle as a pedestrian.
Whoa.
And bashed my head off the curb there, and I was in a coma and all that kind of stuff. So my cochlea in my right ear is busted. And so essentially, all I hear is tweaks and bings and buzzes and essentially tinnitus, right? And I've often thought, you know, I wonder if I'd make a good candidate for a cochlear implant.
I think you would, but
the basic, right?
Absolutely. I think it's something to look into, especially in Canada. Like, wouldn't it be easier to source as far as like healthcare?
I think so. Yeah. I'm actually rejoining the fire department, so I get full coverage.
Oh my gosh.
Like medical, you know, like medical, dental, vision and all that kind of stuff. So maybe they'll throw in a cochlear implant for me.
Yeah. Maybe we'll come down and it vouch for us if we get another 4 years.
Yeah. All right. You're in the military?
No, just the fire department.
Okay. Cool. I'm learning a lot about everybody here. What about the next controversy next of?
Yeah. Yeah. So essentially, I guess extending a little bit from the Trump thing, coronavirus was released or is a hoax to make big profits for big pharma. So what do you guys all think about that? Because that's not just for coronavirus. It's been kicked around for years. A big pharma doing everything for.
I'll throw this out to Joey. Joey, what do you think about this? Coronavirus, big hoax for big pharma.
Well, don't the other pills, aren't they losing profits in other areas because people are trying to stay away from the healthcare system so it doesn't collapse? So, I mean, it just seems kind of, it just seems like a very unproductive, unprofitable play if that's their goal in mind.
Yeah, I think everyone took a really big hit stock market wise, but
yeah.
Boudreaux, what do you think?
Go ahead, Boudreaux.
Yeah. No, I'm with Joey on that. It seems like a lot of these conspiracy theories where it's not even well thought out. I mean, it's just people saying words and stringing them together, and it's or just rehashing other hoaxes, and and that's what this one sounds like too. The article that we're referencing, has four points there, and they all, first of all, big farmers already wealthy.
Yeah.
Second, tanking the economy is not, right. not a great way to, right. so it just, I don't know. Show us the evidence,
Right.
Let's follow the evidence.
I like that.
And it doesn't take a lot of thinking to realize that. It's got so many holes in it that it's almost ludicrous to entertain it to begin with, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And big business is nothing if not diversified. Boom. I mean, even people who are big into big pharma, they're big into everything else too. Mm-hmm. And they had to have seen that if they were thinking about doing this, that it would tank the economy.
Yeah. I would also say there's no magical pill that solves coronavirus or SARS.
Right.
So if there was, then I'd be like, oh, there might be something here. But if there isn't, and we're still scrambling to like figure out even just good metrics to test this, I'd be like, I don't think anyone's was, particularly prepared to make a giant profit off of this. Cause it seems like everything unilaterally took a really big hit, except for even the biggest people who came out of this and in the green were like brick and mortar retail stores that. As a result of Amazon being, overswarmed with orders, they had the supplies, they were ready to go, but they aren't like giant players. They were like, brick and mortar has been steadily dropping, in terms of interest over, the last decade. So I don't know. I would need to see more evidence. I like how, Boudreaux was open to it. As long as there's good evidence, I'm in the same boat. And right now I have no good reason to believe it.
Okay, number 7, coronavirus was released as a method of population control in China.
Population control, wow. Well, a little bit too late.
Well, and that's what they say. The Chinese government did a great job limiting population growth all by itself with its brutal one-child policy. It doesn't need a virus to control its population.
Look how quickly they jumped on it and squelched it as opposed to the rest of the world. Why would they stop it like that if they were behind it?
Yeah.
Exactly.
And then, of course, I'm going to, throw out my original disclaimer. Of course, we should take precautions, and I'm happy to save, everyone, because it's everyone that was being lost is someone's loved one, and we don't want that to happen. But as far as, lethal epidemics or pandemics that have been going around, this is very, very small comparison. Or if that was the goal, It's like, we're gonna reduce the population because 4 billion people is too much. How about we kill 50,000 Chinese people? It's like, that's so small. Yeah, right. That's such a small number.
That makes sense.
Just give everyone cars.
A little short of a meaningful target. Right?
Yeah, just give everyone cars. It's going to be way more effective, and you'll see a drop.
There you go. Exactly.
That or open a Krispy Kreme. Just open Krispy Kremes all over the place.
Yeah.
Way better ways to kill people, guys.
Vaping's going to take care of that.
Oh, man. Yeah. I have a neighbor upstairs. He just got, I can tell he vapes because I'm spending more time out on my balcony, and all I'm seeing are like giant plumes of clouds seemingly coming out of nowhere from like the top of a building. I'm like, do my neighbors have a chimney, or is that just one person? And it's totally just one person. I'm like, how much air is in your body?
Yeah.
That you make that much of a cloud. That's
crazy.
It can't
be good for you.
But, and there was, I remember there was actually one comment, or, you know, one, story around the high mortality in China, due in part to the fact that, many more Chinese people smoke as compared to, other places in the world. And sure. That, you know, if you're already, burdening your respiratory system with things like smoke, that the effects of a respiratory disease are going to have a higher impact on you.
Yeah. You know, the crazy thing is, it doesn't take much for a company to profit off a population like China, because if just 2% of Chinese people do anything, that's a massive amount of people compared to 2% of Americans, which is like only 360 million people total.
Right.
So if you're a drug company, you're like, hey, let's just figure out some way we can get these people hooked. And it's really unfortunate. Like the, I feel like it's almost exploitative, but yeah, there are a lot of smokers and waste issues. And I mean, I bet there's this variety of different drugs we probably never even heard of that are recreational in a sense, but in terms of like impact, if they were brought over to America, but are detrimental to the health of the person who uses it, that are way more popular in China than they are in the US. And it's just, it's an unfortunate lack of information, also exploitation of the total numbers. I'd say, for example, here's another thing. Mobile games have like this concept, the ones that you play have a concept of, okay, listen, I know this is a free game, but we're going to make like, your character can wear a hat and we'll make the hat like $40. And people will be like, no one's going to buy a hat on a free video game for $40. It's like, true. But if enough people play this free game, enough people will buy that $40 hat. Mm-hmm. And if we release this game in China, there will be enough people who will buy that hat to that. We will make buku amount of money. And, and so they're called, are you familiar with this, guys?
Well, I was going to chime in and say that's exactly how scamming phishing attempts work.
Yeah,
too.
Yeah.
Most people don't fall for them.
Mm.
But if you write a computer program to shoot it out to a million people, all you need is like 1%. You know?
Exactly.
And then you got a brilliant point.
A tenth of a percent.
Yeah. And then next thing you know, everyone needs virus protection software because there's just people out in the world trying to get that 1% in the world. And I feel like that's where we're at right now. Like, we just have tobacco companies. We got people smoking in, you know, what's effectively, what is it, glycerin, antifreeze, more or less, with flavor enhancements in it. And I feel like it's just targeting like the few percent who will be like, yeah, I'm going to do this. This will be cool now. It's like, ooh.
Right.
Oh, well, pharmaceuticals, what are we going to do with you guys? Though coronavirus, we won't blame you on this one. This is just
come up with an alternative to drinking cow urine and using essential oils in your rectum as a means to prevent coronavirus.
So how about this?
That's number 8.
I'll pass.
1%. You just need 1% to try it.
We just need that really, really small number.
There's a lot of cow pee out there.
Cool. Hey guys, we're heading close to the bottom of the half hour. How about we take a break? Larry, you mind taking us out?
No, not at all. This is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour. At the bottom of the hour, we're taking a break, as if you didn't pick up on that. And we'll be back in just a few minutes. This is WZO Radio 103.9 LP FM. From Knoxville, Tennessee. See you in a minute.
You're listening to the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO 103.9 LPFM in Knoxville, Tennessee. Feel free to join in on the conversation at 865 333
865-333-5937. That's 865-333-5937. And now, back to the show. Digital Free Thought Radio Hour.
Simply the best.
Welcome back. I'm Doubter 5, and this is the Digital Free Thought Radio Hour on WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. Welcome back to the second half of the show. Today is Sunday, April 12th, and let's talk about the free thought groups that you can join right here in Knoxville, Tennessee. First, there's the Atheist Society of Knoxville. ASK was founded in 2002. We're in our 18th year, and we have over 1,000 members now. You can find us online at knoxvilleatheist.org. You can also search meetup.com and join us there. By the way, if you don't live in Knoxville and you don't have a meetup in your area, you can still go there. Create one on your own. If you don't have one in your town, start one. Another large free-thinking group here in Knoxville are the Rationalists of East Tennessee. To find out more about them, their meetings, or if you have meetings again, go to rationalist.org and click on upcoming events. Earlier in the show, you said we talked about the Atheist Call-In TV show. It's called Freethinkers United Coalition of Knoxville Online. You can go to YouTube and search for that. And remember to find archives of their shows on YouTube where a fan has been posting them. Also, if you're interested in getting involved with the TV or the radio show, just come to any Ask Meetup or join us online. You could be our next co-host or guest. With us today on the show, our usual co-host is Wombat. Say hello, Wombat.
Hey, what's Wombat?
And we have guests Joey, Chad, and Boudreaux. Oh, Chad's not with us, but Dread Pirate Hicks is.
Arr. Welcome.
We were talking about coronavirus.
Conspiracies.
Conspiracy theories. There you go.
Mm-hmm.
Coronaspiracies.
There are a lot of them out there.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Cool. Gary, why don't you hit us with the next one?
Sure. So this one I came across, and this is actually was brought to my attention by a conspiracy theorist who is responding to a Facebook post I made, which actually brought up the article that I've been sharing here with from the American Council on Science and Health. And of course, they're in the conspiracy theory bunker. And he said, well, the one I didn't see there is the most important one. It's the adrenochrome conspiracy theory, not specific to COVID, but which involves Hillary Clinton and prominent Democrats that run a child sex and sacrifice ring.
What?
Out of a pizzeria.
Is this real?
This is what they, well, it is to them.
Is this something that's worth a Google without destroying my cookie history?
And apparently it's, been around since 2016. But this adrenochrome is something then that the elite use to get high. So they torture and kill, sacrifice children for their adrenochrome. And then process it in some way so that the rich people can all sit around and get high.
Vampires. These people should make movies.
Like vampires, yeah.
Like science fiction books.
I think they do.
They make a lot more money than just throwing around all these crazy ideas.
Have you gone to the movie theater?
It does seem like a waste of talent, doesn't it?
No, I think they totally are making movies. I've seen.
What does that have to do with the virus, though, the coronavirus?
It doesn't. Like I said, it was just something that he had brought to my attention in the course of talking about the coronavirus and the other conspiracy theories.
So.
Yeah.
Okay.
Maybe it's the new vitamin C.
Maybe. There was one video where I saw that they were talking about it was a hoax, the conspiracy, to shut down the elections and keep Trump in office. What do y'all think about that?
I thought elections already happened, or like for Democratic primaries, and I thought the primary elections already happened.
No, the total election, the main election in November, they say if everybody's still on their
own. No way.
No way. That's not what the Constitution says.
Yeah, that's
they
not.
They obviously don't know their Constitution.
Well,
the Constitution says if we cannot have an election and the president doesn't get to continue, nor does the vice president, Speaker of the House moves up to the president.
Oh, that's Nancy Pelosi.
So they don't know that, or maybe they do, and they're saying well, this is the way the Democrats are spreading the virus so that we can get elected. It's just all dumb.
You know? Okay.
Yeah, like the Democrats are going over to Hunan, China, and open up a vial of
Yeah,
to get Nancy Pelosi in office.
Yeah. See. I would say this, not so much a conspiracy, but we do know that 19 on the COVID-19 refers to 2019, right? In the sense that there was a 2018 and a 2017 version of this virus. Also, we do know viruses don't check out. Like, it's not like a job where they like go around the world and then it's like, oh, it's January 1st, time to go home, time to retire. Right. So like a lot of what the virus is at 2020 is a combination of 2019, some maybe old 18, maybe some even older 17, and then all the mutations that they had gone through, you know, as they spread. So like 17-1, 17-750. And then what we're dealing with is a smorgasbord of various forms of mutated coronavirus. And I just want to make sure that you don't have to open up a vial somewhere and be like, haha, now you got 19. It's like, dude, we had like 14 versions of 19 in the square foot. And all the ones from previous year hanging around already. So it's all good. You don't have to like steal it and ship it somewhere.
No.
It's as cheap as boogers, I think I said a long time ago. It's right. Yeah. All right. Hey, who's got some like other good conspiracies? I think, Dredd, you're tapped out now, right?
I'm tapped out, yeah.
Joey, you got a good one for us?
A good conspiracy theory concerning coronavirus or just overall?
I want to know both, but let's stick to the theme. Let's see if we can get a coronavirus related one.
I'm trying to think that you guys have informed me on so many more than I knew a couple weeks ago.
Oh, man.
So this one's not really outlandish, but I was watching one of the videos on trying to address the myths, and something about if you struggle with holding your breath for longer than 10 seconds, you might have a lung condition or something like that. I don't know if that's true or not, but he said that's a myth, and that doesn't tell you anything about the strength of your lungs or something like that. That was a video like a couple mm-hmm. weeks ago. So
Here in one of the BC websites there, the official COVID BC website, British Columbia, has actually a small short quiz that you can kind of take and, you know, self-assess to see whether or not you might be at risk of having it, or, you know, so it just has a series of questions, and if you answer yes to that one, you move on to the next and that kind of thing. So
yeah, you need to post that link, and I'll share that link in Patreon for sure. Joey, the thing you said sounded like when we were in high school, where we would come up with, yeah, if you slap yourself in the face and your cheeks don't turn red, you might have cancer. This is totally true. And so what you'll end up with are an entire classroom walking out with just red cheeks. And you're like, did you tell them that thing? It's like, I totally did. Look at them all. They're all silly.
Yeah.
Yeah.
If your hand is bigger than your face, too, that's a good one.
That's good.
I got a bloody nose for that one.
I have a loosely conspiracy related one. What do you guys think of the folks that are getting out there and comparing, I think we talked about this a little bit maybe on our first call, comparing COVID-19 to the flu and, you know, the death rates and the number of...
I heard that early on. At
first, I was actually quite arrogant about it. I didn't share it with that many people. I actually had a comedy... I do open mic stand-up comedy every now and then. Of course, not right now. Here in the Nashville area, and I had a bit on that, and I didn't get around to it, and I'm glad I did, because I watched some videos and corrected myself, and I was like, wow, I would have sounded like an ass. Because I had this bit about, like, a nursing home, like, it was just, you know, it was just a threat to really, really, really old people. I was incredibly misinformed, and I'm really glad I didn't get on stage and do that. But yeah, that's just...
You missed the bullet, huh?
I feel like we're still talking around the bush. Eric, would you mind just explicitly telling me the correlation between flu and coronavirus that people are making that might be seen as insensitive?
Well, and I don't know if it's quite insensitive, just seems... bad actors with data is kind of what I'm seeing. So this knucklehead on my Facebook stream is going, you know, flu 291,000 to 646,000 deaths worldwide, average per year.
Yeah.
12,000 to 61,000 deaths in the U.S. per year. So
yep.
deaths worldwide in the U.S. COVID-19, as of today, 18,000 deaths in the U.S. And 101 global deaths. So
okay.
18,000 is right in between, or on the lower end, maybe, of the U.S. deaths per year.
Yeah.
And we're only, we're only 4 months into this. And we're already, you know, we're not above average, according to their numbers. But it just, it seems like he's comparing a yearly flu to just what we've seen in 4 months, and we're social distancing.
Yeah.
I have a question about this, because I can see the point of view from a person who's trying to say, hey, let's have some context here. Because I'm not saying deaths are suddenly okay, or that people dying from influenza, ha ha ha. I'm more like, is it worth panicking if we know that there are things we don't panic about that actually kill more people? Like, isn't
that's, well put? Well,
I wish
put,
we would panic about heart disease. I really wish we would.
Okay.
I wish we just had a mass panic about it and people just started eating right and exercising. Cool.
Yeah. Yeah. About obesity. Like, yeah. Like, if we know we don't panic about people who die from heart failure because they eat too much candy and donuts, and that's millions of people every year. And when we have something that kills something on like three orders of magnitude less than that, and we're shutting down the schools.
Yeah.
I'm saying, like, yeah, it sucks when people die, but are we addressing this with the right degree of sensibility?
Exactly. Yeah. I think you're right, Ty. That's a good point. I mean, I think about this in highway safety a lot, where if the 767, full 767 crashed every week, nobody would get on an airplane.
Right.
Yet we have the same number of deaths on the highways as we would for, you know, 52 767s crashing every year.
Exactly.
But we're so comfortable with it. So there's a level of comfort that we've decided it's worth, you know, that amount of deaths on the roads for us to have the freedom to drive a car.
Yeah.
We're okay. We're okay with this many people dying every year with heart disease because we want cheese in our crust on our pizza.
Well, you know, this is an important distinction that ought to be made more often, and that is the difference between hazard and risk.
Ooh, I love this.
People often conflate the two, that in the presence of a hazard, you're automatically at high risk. Well, that's not necessarily so, because there are, of course, mitigations that you can perform or undertake in order to limit your risk in the face of hazard, right?
Right. And the thing that I'm really concerned about is I'm aware people are, like, you know, worried about the flu. When they're worried about the flu, they'll get a flu shot. And I'm like, that is the perfect thing to do if you're worried about the flu. But with coronavirus, I see people saying, I'm worried about coronavirus. I'm going to wear a face mask and gloves and go to the grocery store. And in my head, it's like, do you know how to wear a face mask? They aren't just things that you put on and you're invincible. There's a proper way to put them on and take them off. And they're a biohazard when you take them off. Are you disposing them properly? Do you have a beard right now? Are you making a good seal? Are you touching your face mask every 4 seconds? Do you have the right rated kind of face mask?
Right. Are you pulling off your gloves after you use them properly?
Exactly.
There's a special technique to actually do that to reduce the possibility of, you know, infecting your hand. Yeah, contaminating your hands with your gloves.
And are you comfortable cross-contaminating whatever you buy in the store with everything you've touched in the store? Like, you might be putting on gloves right now and keeping yourself healthy for, like, that brief second, but now every single thing that you're buying and taking home with you has been touched by those gloves that you used to touch everything that you didn't want to touch, and you just brought those home with you. You put them in your car. Your car is now effectively as dirty as every surface in the grocery store you touch. Your home is now as dirty.
It's a sense of security.
It's one of those things where it's, what's the right word? It's inadvertently harming yourself without realizing it, just due to panic. And I worry about that. And I feel like the people who are saying, like, yeah, car accidents kill a lot of people, but we wear seatbelts. We have traffic laws in place. Like, we come up with means of regulating and reducing the amount of ways that we can reduce this hazard and risk that we're putting ourselves under. But what you're doing under this state of panic that we're in might actually be worse. And you should at least be aware of like that with some sort of fortitude, because I feel like no one's actually applying critical thought in this process.
Right.
I have a question.
Go for it.
When you're wearing gloves, I know that it protects your own hand from whatever the glove is becoming contacted with. But has there ever been a study on the difference in rate of transfer from if you're just not wearing gloves to where you're wearing gloves? I mean, does a glove collect more things than just a bare hand? And how what's the rate of transfer from surface to surface when you're wearing gloves versus just bare hands? Does that answer my question?
Yeah, I'll go for it.
And there are, there's been, of course, they've been studying.
That's my field.
the survivability of the virus on different surfaces. I know stainless steel was a high survivability, plastics, some plastics as well. So I think they've been doing that testing just to make those kinds of determinations.
Yeah. I'm a scientist and I've worked in sterility labs for like 6 years at least. And the concept is different gloves do different things, even if they are like the nitrile type or latex type, et cetera. And if they are not sterile when you put them on, you're working in a non-sterile environment, both in the glove and out of the glove. And so if you just put on a two gloves that you got out of your dashboard and you walk around the store, you're now incubating the germs that were inside that glove when you're now grocery shopping against your skin. You're not doing anything that's actually keeping germs away. You're incubating the germs that are already on you faster. And so there is a means of, if you want to do sterile work, you have to be in a sterile environment, but you can't just put on sterile equipment that people use in sterile environments and then suddenly be sterile. It doesn't work that way. It doesn't seem intuitive, but it absolutely is the case. And a lot of people are taking what they see on TV or what they see professionals do, put on the equipment and feel as if they have the same standard of protection.
Yeah, because every time I go through the drive-thru now, everybody's wearing gloves, and I'm wondering, is that even helping at all?
No.
Because, I mean, if you're still collecting things and moving it around with the glove, it might be, you don't wash your hands, so it's just like,
You don't wash your hands with the gloves on, do you?
No.
I think a lot of what happens is, it depends on how many times that they change their gloves. Like, I go into Subway, and every single thing, I put on a new pair of gloves, right fresh out of the box, make the same, take them off, bring me up, send me on my way, put on another pair of gloves to make the next change. And I think that's good.
That's
a workable solution.
Yeah, I like that. That's good. Please don't use the same gloves from the trash can. But it's also like you're still going to get germs on everything, even in that environment. The germs that are on that gloves are not going to be on your sandwich, but we are willing to do that to get a sandwich at the end of the day.
Right.
There's that concept that Gary brought up really well. Like, you wouldn't wear your gloves while you're washing your hands. You wouldn't wear gloves when you go to the bathroom and do a number two and then walk out and not wash your hands because you're like, I got gloves on and my hands aren't dirty. It's like, of course they are. It's very, very easy to contaminate those things. And a lot of gloves aren't designed for sterile work. There's no gloves that's designed to go buy groceries at a grocery store. I can tell you that straight out. But there are gloves that have like enhanced, or like, they don't care about the pore and they don't care about the chemical they use to make the gloves. They're just there to give you a additional grip. They look like rubber. They look like nitrile gloves, but they have a diamond powder pattern that just increase your grip. There are others that have a powder on the inside to keep you from sweating as much. And there are others that help you have an enhanced grip. But these are.
My mom's actually allergic to that powder. She's worked in nursing homes as a CNT for like 25 years. She can't wear the gloves with the powder on the inside.
Yeah. So like, there are different gloves for different things, and we should be aware of what the limitations are of the PPE that we choose to wear. They're not all the same. And so when I've seen people, oh my gosh, I have a picture of this, a guy wearing a balaclava. Right. I posted the picture, but I'm making a nice little collage of people who dress up before they go up to the grocery store. But a balaclava, just a cloth mask with his nose sticking out, with a beard and blue nitrile gloves, grocery shopping because he thinks that's helping him stay more safe, when really it could actually be easily demonstrated that he's just cross-contaminating his environment even more so. And I feel like if people were aware of, like, hey, Were you worried this much because of the flu? No? Okay. Let's just look at some numbers here, because these are fairly comparable, and the amount of measures that you're going through to keep yourself protected from coronavirus compared to what you're doing to keep yourself protected from the flu. Maybe we can look at these and see maybe there's better techniques than what you're actually employing right now. And maybe mm-hmm. we can see if you're operating under a state of panic and not necessarily doing something that's actually helpful for you. I like right. comedy that tells me something that's true that's hard for me to swallow. And it's right. easy to say that guy's a jerk, but there's so much truth in there. I feel like yeah. that joke that you're going to float, you can workshop that and make it work, dude.
Hey, Wombat, one thing I thought I'd bring up as well is the idea that some of these measures that have been undertaken, as you say, may or may not actually be beneficial or, you know, doing the thing that they're, you know, created to do. But it also, you know, opens the possibility of post hoc reasoning. Where after the fact, we say, well, look, we put all these measures into place. It seems to have had an effect on the stopping the spread of coronavirus.
Right.
But there's no way to evaluate each of those methods individually.
Right.
They just sort of, the good and the bad get all clumped together as these are the measures we used. It seems to have been successful because coronavirus has waned.
Yep.
Therefore, we must employ these all the same way again. You know what I mean?
And we have a compounding issue where this has become dramatically political. So, and we have an administration that's not good at expressing scientific concepts to a general public.
Of course.
And those two things really combined is just making a mass swell of disorder go on, where people are operating what they assume to be the best methods of getting information and behaving on them. But we are seeing porous epistemologies at work at this point. When we're told stay at home, that'll cure the virus. It's like, that's not a cure. That's just a temporary, you know, reduction on our resources. Or, buy antibacterial soap. It's like, this is a virus. It's good to wash your hands, but right, like exactly. for the most part, these aren't really killing this particular virus that we're worried about. Maybe some, but yeah. not the one that we're caring and care about. But wash your hands anyway. Yeah, it's good. Buy vitamin C. Drink cow urine. We're seeing these poor epistemologies at work. We're realizing that our beliefs inform our actions. And I think there's room for comedy. I wish that, Joey, you wouldn't feel as bad as that. I think your job as a comedian or for the job of someone in comedy is to say the things that we are afraid to say.
Exactly.
Oh, yes, but I also want to be fully informed. I don't want to be up there making a joke from the perspective of somebody who's completely ignorant of the situation, because I abstained from the news like it was the plague long before there was plague. So, because it's of all the sensationalism and all the negativity, I had to focus on things in my own life. And so when I started watching the news again a couple of months ago, it was about the coronavirus, and I was just rolled my eyes because it was just like, oh, it's just all the sensationalism. But then
yeah.
I listened to Sam Harris, and there it is.
Oh, there we go. Bingo.
and then other people, and I got myself fully informed. But yeah, totally. I'm right there with you. All my other stuff. It's a lot of fun. I was a theater kid in high school, and I look forward to seeing what becomes of it. My friends, a couple of guys that do it with me, have given me a lot of compliments, like genuine compliments that I've got some potential. So I'm really cool. excited about it. But you know, have to see after the lockdown.
Very cool.
Yeah.
Can you do live comedy streaming or something like that for some of these comedy clubs? I know some bands are doing live shows streaming.
Maybe. I'll have to get in touch with my friends on that one. I'm sure somebody's doing something. But it's kind of just like a hobby for me right now, because I've got a lot of other stuff in my life to try to get together too. So, but yeah, maybe.
Cool. All right, Larry, you said you got a conspiracy theorist for it.
Well, there's one going around now that Bill Gates started the whole thing so that he could implant chips in us all, you know. And he's going to be he's got this pre-canned inoculation that he's going to be sending around the world, which is all just BS. I mean, sure, he's working on it. He's been involved in infectious diseases forever, you know, 20 years probably, working on different diseases that are out there. Of course, he's working on and if he comes up with one, I'm certainly going to take it. But this conspiracy theory says that he's the one who set it in motion just so he could sell the vaccine and get his chip inside all of us.
Oh.
Yeah. Terrible.
No, I'm saying if the chip comes out and it can get us to, like, a virtual girlfriend, I'm totally for it. Plug me in.
Yeah.
I just linked that self-assessment tool in the chat.
Cool. And we'll be sure to share it. If you don't have access to internet, or but you can still hear us for some reason, it's bc.thrive.health on Google, and just type in bc.thrive.health, and you'll be put through a multiple-choice question to see if you got coronavirus or not.
For maybe. Sure. Yeah.
Good way to self-assess. Larry, you got any more conspiracies for us? Anybody else?
Well, some people are saying that it's spreading so quick because it's transmitted by mosquitoes.
Yeah.
Of course, there's no evidence for that, but that doesn't keep them from saying it.
Speaking of it being in other species other than humans, did you guys see about it getting into a tiger?
Yeah.
Whoa. So,
I didn't read the entire article, but that's just strange. I mean, have we ever known a virus that floats around in humans that is also in animals?
Oh, absolutely.
Like that can be that can be that transmissible?
Oh yeah, definitely. Yeah. Flu does that. Swine flu, bird flu, you know, like there's a lot of transgenic black plague.
Like it started in one species. Like this one started in bats, correct?
This one mutation, sure, but there could be some that came from pigs. I mean, this is a very SARS is a very general kind of disease that can be caused by a variety of different kind of viruses, not just exclusive to coronavirus. And so some varieties of coronavirus are absolutely transgenic and can be captured from other species, birds, pigs.
So this is not like a scary new thing to be able to be this quickly transmitted from humans back to another species?
No, this actually, and that's a good point. This virus that we have, we don't have a baseline for how fast it's, when we say it spreads fast, we're not comparing that to anything to have that information. We're not comparing that against like coronavirus 18 or coronavirus 17, because we weren't aggressively testing people back in those years when we didn't care as much about it. So we just have a rate of spread that we know of now that might actually be slower compared to the ones that we've had in the past. And I think what happens is if we continue to have, you know, these coronavirus outbreaks now, I imagine we'll keep track of 20 and 21. We might actually realize that, hey, 19 wasn't that bad compared to everything else, or it might be way worse than everything else, but still manageable in the grand scheme of things compared to like other means of how people, you know, check out. So I think it's just something to take into context that this is not a new thing, like, and nor is it novel in any particular way. Or confined to humans. It is a global thing.
Okay. I knew all that. I just didn't know if there was something different or something profound about the way it can jump from species to species at that competitive rate.
But that is what makes.
The article's up here on CNN 6 days ago. Nadia, a tiger from the Bronx Zoo in New York, has become the first of her kind to test positive for coronavirus.
Right. And that is what makes it so hard to make a vaccine for SARS. One, it's a general disease, too. Like, it's just, you know, acute respiratory syndrome. But, like, also, every human makes new cells in a new way because we have cells that split and they have to make new two pairs of DNA, and we're not very good at copying DNA perfectly. That's why our moms... Our dads look different from the sons, and the sons look different from their sons, and so on and so on. But even on a daily basis, we're making new cells that aren't exact copies of other cells that they came from. And so when the virus comes and says, hey, when a virus infects a cell and says, make many copies of me, the cell is operating under the same factory that it makes other cells. So it makes slightly imperfect versions of each of those viruses. And now you have very, very slightly different a cornucopia of viruses that are each slightly unique and slightly different. And then when they go into an animal body, it's like, oh my gosh, this is completely different because they split slightly different pairs as well. And so it just rapidly mutates. And, you know, it sounds concerning, but this is something our biology has been dealing with since biology has existed. And, it is a thing where vaccines are really important, but some things are easier to make vaccines for than others. And it takes time to make a good vaccine. So you could totally make a vaccine right now in like a day just by coughing on someone.
Yeah.
Really?
But. Because that is, in a sense, a controlled infection of somebody. But if you want to make a controlled vaccine that does what you say it does, there are very strict regulations and time windows to make sure that the vaccine does what it's supposed to do. And that takes upwards of up to 18 months to get done. That's why we get the last year's flu this year, because it just takes so long to make like a good vaccine. And so when we have like this SARS-19, if there's a vaccine that comes out, say, next week, I'll be like, ooh, that's very, very early. Are you sure that does what it's supposed to do? But if it comes out in 20...
I've done some research on the vaccine thing too.
But if it comes out in 2021 or 2020, I'll be, or, you know, 21 or 22, I'll be like, this is good for 19, and 19 might still be around in some form. So it could be a useful option, but I just want them to make sure that people are aware that these things take time to do. Like, you have to culture them in mammalian cells. They don't grow as fast as bacterial cells. Like, things take time. It's just, it just is what it is. Yeah. That's fine.
Yeah, I also heard that we have may have mentioned it here that, a COVID vaccine may become part of our yearly regimen. Like, they'll say, make sure you get your flu vaccine and your COVID vaccine this year. And don't forget it, you know.
Yeah.
It becomes a yearly thing.
Maybe with tetanus and hepatitis B would be great as well. Like, there's a lot of things that I would like to see. Now that we know vaccines work, it would be nice to see a good health regimen for everybody. Most of us. Sure. Hey, we're getting down to the bottom. Joey, how can we find out more about you? Like, you said you're a stand-up comedian. What's some good places we can find you at?
Well, I just got started, so my stage name is JW Kennedy. So you can follow me on Twitter at JWK Hates the News. I also have a YouTube channel, JW Kennedy. No videos right now. So like I said, I just getting started. And, so that's pretty much it. Just to follow that stuff and just to keep an eye on it. And hopefully when the lockdown lifts up, I can start making some videos and some recording and see what becomes of it.
So. JW Kennedy Hates the News.
I also do some music. I play a little guitar, piano, and sing. So I'll be tossing some music videos and things.
If you post
music on there too. So
post your stuff to this messenger group and we'll put it into the rotation.
Well, what's that?
Post your stuff in this messenger group, and we'll put it in the rotation. We'll even play it on the show. We support atheist music people.
Put it on the air in FM.
Exactly. Yeah. Yeah.
Sweet.
Hey,
it's worthy.
We got Boudreaux working on a music video over here. What's going on here, and where can we eventually find it when it gets released?
So it's I'm telling everybody this out loud, so I force myself to finish the project. But yeah, I've got a pretty funny Weird Al Yankovic style parody of a popular 80s song, acoustic version that I'm working on that the lyrics are set to COVID-19.
Nice.
So I'm hoping that will be ready soon, and I'll put it on YouTube. And I guess I have a YouTube channel that's mostly like live, you know, band videos from Arizona Bay and other things, but I might make a new channel or something, but I'll get that to you guys. And my final thoughts are, I think the CEO of Zoom started the coronavirus, so
it's too perfect. That's so good. Dread Pirate, where can we find your stuff at, and where would you recommend that people follow or check out?
Well, you can always find me on my YouTube channel at Mind Pirate, MindPyrate. I don't have anything new there, of course, since we haven't been able to get together and make any new content, but I am working on the OBS, which I downloaded, and I'm trying to work the system so that we can put together that podcast I've been threatening to do for a few months now.
Cool. I've been working on something called like an SE game night, making use of Zoom and a Twitch account. I can have people call into a group call and we can play video games together. like Jackbox games, just party games.
That sounds like a lot of fun.
It's super fun. We just did one on Friday and it was just a blast. And I was like, cool. This is so easy to get together. There were couples, there were just single dudes, there were friends just hanging out, playing games together and talking about, you know, whatever really, but also about SE stuff. If you like SE stuff. So, if that's cool, I'll be posting the link. We'll probably do one. Most likely next week. How about next week Friday and or next week Saturday or something like that, since we're all in lockdown anyway. Larry, what do you got?
Well, that's the end of our show, but I'd like to mention that you can find our show on digitalfreethought.com. Just go there and click on the blog and then click on podcasts. We're also available. This podcast will be available on iTunes, Stitcher, Luminary, podcast.com, iHeart, et cetera, et cetera. And if you'd like to send some questions to the show that we can discuss them, send them to askanatheist@knoxvilleatheist.org, and we'll answer them on future shows. That's about it. Just to remind you that everybody's going to somebody else's hell. The time to worry about it is when they prove that heavens and hells and souls are real. Until then, don't sweat it and enjoy your life. Join us again next Wednesday night at 7 o'clock on WOZORadio.com or in the FM here in Knoxville at WOZO Radio 103.9 LPFM. See you next week. Take care.
See ya.
Bye.
Bye.
Peace.
Perfect, guys.
Thank you for having me. That was it.
Cool. WOZO LP 103.9 FM, Knoxville.